finish your year with your dream kitchen with help from Menards. Clearview Cabinetry offers a selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft close doors and drawers and cabinet accessories to match your unique style. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Clearview Cabinets and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. I'll do this. Support on this computer.
Oh, did I not make you a co-host yet?
No.
I thought I made you. Oh, there you are. You co-host. All right.
Support this computer. There we go.
I don't know if you heard last week, but we added in, I added in a ton of new sound effects.
I did not actually hear last week. That's my confession. I did not get a chance to listen to last week's review or see last week's show.
You didn't listen to anything?
I didn't. I was... Listen, I was too out of it, man.
You were out of it? Why were you out of it?
Having spent last Friday night in a local medical facility. I love to pop you early this morning, early in the morning, man. Yeah. So let's catch everyone up, I guess. I ended up last week having a planned surgery on my windpipe. And last Friday, I was certainly not in any condition to record. I was, high as a kite, let's be honest, with all the narcotics and stuff that they had in me. And
you would have been so happy. You would have liked SmackDown so much last week. Because you would have been high as a kite.
Sure. I mean, I also, had an IV attached to me, and around when SmackDown was going, they came in and like, oh, hey, by the way, you're in hospital, right? I'm like, yeah. Like, good, roll up your sleeve. I'm like, okay. And then stab me in the arm because they're like, yeah, warfarin shot. I'm like, damn it.
Wait, what shot did you have to get?
Warfarin, like the anti-blood clot one.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah, because if you're in hospital, apparently it's standard procedure to be like, hey, let me stab you in the arm.
Let you get stabbed in the arm with a thing.
So you don't get a blood clot. But yeah, that was my, about when SmackDown was going last Friday night, that's when, they came in and stabbed me. So,
Greg, that's wild.
Yeah, but that's okay. So I've been recovering for the last week or so, and trying to do my thing and kind of get back to somewhat normalcy. But the throat is still sore, and it's not nearly as bad as before. But it's getting better slowly.
So you talk less to your wife.
Sure. We've also been doing a liquid diet for 2 weeks. So that's been a challenge and interesting in itself, especially when it's, 30 degrees or like 90 degrees Fahrenheit out and, you're eating soup.
Yeah, that's not fun. All right, Greg, you have to check your microphone now.
Why is my mic causing grief here? Let's see if this will work better. Is this any better?
A little bit. Just check and make sure you're using the microphone, not your headphones.
I'll double check that. Let's try this. Let's see.
Is that it? What were you before?
Oh, well, I had it set to go to Yeti for the mic, but it did not. It picked it up from my Bose. So should I, do you want to?
No. We're leaving all this in. And then this is where we're going to put the cut in for the theme song.
Okay. Sounds good.
The Godfather Gray, the Snack Daddies.
podcast and sports entertainment. It's Brad, the Dad, and Father Greg, the Smack Daddies.
Hello, friends, and welcome to your SmackDown review for The Hub. I am Brad, the Dad, and running shotgun with me is my tag team partner, Greg, Father Feltham.
Bless you, my son.
This is why we're professionals, because we realize after we were chatting, I just didn't want to interrupt your story. I like knew right away, just for the confession for the thing. But I was like, hey, Greg's telling the story. We'll just, it's that pre stuff that people don't, well, some people probably skip, but that's the fun part of this, is we just chit chat, have our coffee. Well, I'm having coffee.
You know what you do is you take that pre-stuff and put it on the end just to really mess with people's mind. Just cut that, throw it on the end.
Greg's like, here, I'm going to make word for you. Thanks. Thanks, Greg. No, I'm going to leave it right where it was. So that explains your absence last week. We should probably start off the top. Next week, I'm going to be in Cambridge, Ontario. So I'm going to try and put out a podcast just before Money in the Bank, but I'll do a quick speed run because...
I am in Annapolis Valley.
Lacrosse?
And lacrosse. And Brad, next week is supposed to be a milestone episode for us, but I think that next week is just a half episode.
We're going to call it 199.5. Like we're a terrible radio station here in the city.
Yeah.
199.5. Exactly. Smack Daddies.
CJNR. Yeah, like, I don't know. I just picked four letters. Now I'm curious, is CJNR an actual radio station? Well, it
probably is somewhere. Dude, this went from being some of the best.
It actually is. It's 7:30 in Blind River, Ontario, Canada. There
you go. So to the good people in Blind River, Ontario, Canada, if you happen to be listening, and I know you are, all of you are loyal Smack Daddy listeners, all 65 of you, we found your radio station. There's a call out.
Oh, Brad, come on now. Come on now. There's 3,422 people in Blind River.
Oh, 3,400. Okay, so a large metropolis in Newfoundland.
Yeah. Yep.
Anyways, it was so Greg, did you watch any wrestling this week? Because there was a lot of stuff that happened.
No, I watched SmackDown. I watched a little, and that was under protest.
You should go back and watch a little bit if you can find the AEW PLE. Or PPV. That was good. And
I heard.
Oh yeah.
I at that point I was still pretty damn tired and on narcotics, so I did not think it was good to be
operating heavy machinery or watching AEW.
Yeah, because I mean, I might actually miss that the 18-hour pay-per-view was over and still be sat there with my hand on
watch the recap. You watched it three times in a row.
I did hear, though, that it actually was the longest matches on a AEW PLE or PPV in their history. So the total minutes of match time is the longest they've ever had. It went
to 1:30 in the morning our time.
Yeah, but it actually, I did hear that it was rated, I think, the fourth best pay-per-view for AEW on Cage
it's
Match.
Their fourth best show, event. Yeah, because it's only behind the Brody Lee tribute, which... I'm going to say you throw out because no one's ranking that poorly. So I would say it's the third best, and it's like the second best PLE. So for those of you who sat down and plopped your money down, it was a good show. You also saw the big, I don't know if you, did you see the big news coming out of the NXT shows this week?
I did see that. I did see that an NXT person is the new TNA champion. Joe Hendry lost.
Yes. Well, and all the titles seem to change hands because the North American title is on Ethan Page, and you had the women's title. Stephanie Vaquera lost her title just so she'd be called up to Raw, apparently.
So what this tells us is that Shawn Michaels does not believe in Joe Hendry.
Well, apparently not. And I don't think that title reign is going to be very long, though, because he's having a match with Santana on NXT this week.
Yeah, that'll flip-flop, I'm sure.
Or not. And the next TNA PLE or pay-per-view or PLE. I don't know what there's what they are. But then the big one they have coming up, Bound for Glory, is actually in Santana's hometown.
Oh, is it? Yeah, because we had our friends Randy and Eric from the Raw Dogs. The Raw Review Show were actually at the TNA pay-per-view in Brantford. Was it last week? Yeah, because I think Randy called me while I was in hospital. That was Friday night.
They were there, and then there was tapings afterwards.
And there's taping after. Yeah, because Randy called me while I was in hospital, and I spoke to him for a little bit, but I know I was pretty
high. Could you imagine they recorded their main show, and then they recorded the tapings the next day on Saturday, and they have to somehow not spoil what's going to happen on NXT. But build up for their next TNA special. Yeah. Disaster. That sounds like a disaster.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And there's a disaster en route in this episode of SmackDown, Greg.
I'm assuming you're talking about the first match.
Oh, so you're thinking the first match was bad. I would say that was not the disaster. There's a match later that deserves the disaster title.
Oh, okay. Okay, So let's set the stage for last night. All right, because so, you know, peeling back the curtain here, it's Saturday morning. Myself and Brad are recording because I on dad duty last night was at my son's lacrosse game, which was a blowout, not for us. And as I sit there and watching our team get destroyed, I start getting texts in our group chat talking about how they were watching the absolute worst match they've ever seen on SmackDown. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's going to make me really happy as I sit down to watch this show. And then I get home and I turn on my TV. And Brad, I see the first segment and I'm like, Bianca comes out. And I think to myself, oh dear God, I need a drink right off the bat. Bianca is here in her hometown, and I really just want a beer.
Like, it's so not bad. Her hometown. She is borrowing it from the night. This is the hometown of one Sean Burkhead from the Dynamite drop. This is the Sean Burkhead hometown. Yeah. Screw Bianca Belair. The favorite son of Tennessee is Sean Burkhead.
No, absolutely not. The favorite son of Tennessee has to be his worship, the mayor.
It's Kane. It's got to be Kane.
God damn it. Hellfire and brimstone. It's Kane.
Can you imagine being some like poor official there and you're like, and the mayor calls you and says he wants to do a project and you say no. Then he shows up at the door, kicks off, rips the door off his hinges, raises his hands and fire shoots out of the corners of your office. And he's like, you're doing the project.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So
wait, hold on. Hold on. Recap one. Because we did have in all of this foolishness, Greg, we did end up with a recap of Saturday night's main event. And you know what was a better recap of Saturday night's main event? The one that Randy and Eric did. The Raw Dogs. Not only do they cover Raw, they always seem to cover Saturday night's main event on Sunday night's main event.
I did manage to watch that.
Well, that was the best thing you could have done.
Yeah, I did watch that again. A little high, but yeah, I did watch that because I really did want to see the R-Truth and John Cena part. So wait,
you're going to complain about something. I want you to remember, Greg, I'm in a good mood. So you wait, okay. Hold on. I'm in a good mood. No, stop. Good. I'm in a good mood. And you're
not going to take my joy away from me.
Well, I might. Yeah. So as I continue and I see Bianca come out and I'm like, all right, this is and Bianca is dressed in ring gear. And I'm thinking to myself, OK, I'm getting subjected to a Bianca match. It's fine. I can get through this. And then we get Naomi's music to play and Naomi comes out. I'm thinking to myself, OK, Bianca, Naomi, we've seen this before, but
You didn't know what was coming. Oh, no.
I had no idea I knew what was coming. Exactly. So I'm going in blind here, Brad. I had no idea what was on the show. It's like, okay, Naomi comes out, she confronts Bianca, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, fine, we're going to get a match, Naomi versus Bianca. Right? Fine and good. By the way, if you hear cough breaks or me losing my crap, I apologize. Again, I had surgery a week ago. And then I hear a storm is coming. And I think to myself, oh, sweet Jesus. We're going to get Naomi and Jade taking on each other. And this is going to go bad because Jade, well, sometimes it goes bad.
Oh, and.
And then, oh, I think, and then I think to myself, okay, this can't possibly get any worse. And then I hear I'm not like other girls.
No. And she's got her new Def Rebel theme, which is even worse.
Well, I mean, and then I think to myself, oh my God, Jade and Nia in a match. Why am I watching? Oh,
I got Jade, Nia, and Naomi. So I know what I can summarize this. Since you missed last week, you didn't see that awesome R-Truth one. This is how you're feeling.
I don't believe you happy. He's not happy.
He's not happy.
This promo, he kept saying things like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm clipping all of this for Greg. Because Greg, what you're telling me is this next match.
You are the greatest of all time.
Greatest of all time.
I would like to understand why you would think that.
Anyways, the match is Bianca. After Bianca's getting them to sing the hometown song and all of the talking that Greg just described, we get Naomi versus Jade versus, I had Michael Jackson here, which is really funny, Nia Jax in a triple threat match.
Okay, legit question, because I really don't know and I don't remember at this point. Where the hell Bianca go?
Bianca's hand is still broken.
Okay, but like,
She rolled out of the ring
and never be heard from again? She rolled out
of the ring like she's on the injured reserve, you can't touch me list.
Okay. She just left. Like, she wasn't at ringside trying to cheer anyone on.
So the funny thing about that protocol, just so everybody's clear, they can't be touched. It doesn't say anything in that protocol, because I heard Corey Graves explain it one time before, that he's like, I could become the 24/7 champion and never lose it, because he's like, I can't be touched. But doesn't mean that they can't touch me. They can't touch me, but I can't touch them. So I was like, that seems like a threat rather than a promise, Corey Graves. And let's be honest, Corey Graves, we know what happens when you start touching members of the roster. Divorces and remarriages happen. So Naomi,
I was going to say, people get knocked up.
So this match just is insane. So we ended up starting with Naomi. She's hitting her offense. Jade, at one point, catches Naomi with a dive. They have the scariest spot of this match, though, is when Naomi takes a leg drop from Nia Jax off the middle rope. I was like, oh, dear God, Nia Jax is on the middle rope. And that was even the scariest spot, because later on, she does a cross body from the middle rope. At one point, there's a double team. The heels were double teaming Jade. That eventually goes back to the traditional triple threat action. Nia tries to completely destroy Naomi by hitting a super Samoan drop. And as she hits it, Jade comes flying in with a dive. The crowd's chanting, this is awesome. There's a Tower of Doom spot where Naomi is getting suplexed. Jade gets powerbombed, and Nia Jax doesn't even like go down to her knees. She just laughs. She then sets up for a double up annihilator, and Naomi sits up. She annihilates Jade, and then Naomi rolls very slowly and very awkwardly into a crucifix pin for a 1-2-3. Greg, there's a crucifix bomb at one point in this match. There's all kinds of spots. I think Randy was being harsh. I do not think this is the worst match I've ever seen. That, I think, is reserved for later in this show.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I think this is really bad, particularly the ending.
No, it's botched.
Crucifix was... Yeah. Ugh.
It took her so long to get her down. And it's like the referee... Good.
But I was gonna say, last time I saw a crucifix that bad, there was someone hanging from it.
Yeah, it was, the crucifix pin was terrible. Like, there's no chemistry. And I have no idea how to, these women have wrestled so many times, the combinations of the three, and it feels like there's no chemistry. But again, I will say to you, the worst match is reserved for later in the show. There is, if this is a two-star match, there's a negative three-star match on this show.
Okay, I'm curious to see which one you thought was negative three.
Well, our favorite team comes out, the new bloodline. And you know what? That new bloodline, they're trying to do something, Greg.
You better get in where you fit in.
They're trying to get Jimmy back on the team. That's what you missed last week. They are trying to bring Jimmy Uso back, and they're trying to expand. And they walk in, and R-Truth's talking to the other Jimmy, little Jimmy. And I knew Greg was, there's no playing that Greg's not happy sound effect. Greg is very happy.
Greg is very happy.
And yeah. There, he interrupts him, and I thought he was going to crack the entire new bloodline, because he wants a match with JC Mateo after calling him. He looks at Solo and says, can I wrestle your husky son?
That's right. So, I've never laid eyes on this man before.
And then he touches Solo, and Solo's like, you don't touch me. So the new bloodline is going to have some fun, but Jacob Fatu has something else to take care of, which I think is means that he's trying to qualify for Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
This was great. And where are we going to get a little Jimmy shirt?
I don't know. I'm still looking for that little Jimmy action figure.
You know that they have a Ron Cena shirt available on Shop WWE for $55.
Oh, I loved it. I so love that shirt. That was last Saturday night, the setup for all that. Him coming out to John Cena's music. It was so well done. I honestly wish that, because it's non-title, that they let him win, but I knew that wasn't going to happen.
Dude, yeah. You should go back and watch the entire R-Truth promo. I mean, there's such great lines like,
staring at your championship, calling it your precious.
Like, can you imagine? He's referring to him like he's from Lord of the Rings. My precious. Like, yeah. It's just forever. That's all I want out of life, is I want to more of R-Truth making fun of John Cena. You know what else was great? I knew you were in this was the spot part of the show where you were in a good mood.
I was going to say, he's a goddamn national treasure.
And the other national treasure, Chelsea Green, is there. And she had her nose broken during a 619 spot by Selena Vega. So now she has to wear the face protector. And she's not wearing any face protector. She's wearing the damn prettiest face protector in the history of wrestling.
So I'm a little disappointed with it.
Why?
I'll be honest with you. They missed the boat on this. This should have been like a red, white, and blue inspired one. Why is there yellow on this? Like, this should have been American flag for Chelsea.
Or it could have been she needs to look at the National Hockey League or the National Lacrosse League and look at the way the goaltenders have their cages and masks painted. Like, do something creative with your mask.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. She wants Zelina stripped of her title, handed over to her. But this leads to Alba Fire versus Selena Vega later on.
Her with Nicholas is just so, so good.
And Chelsea, you're not a big NXT UK guy. Alba Fire is really good. And yeah, we get the taste of how good she is later on tonight. But before that, we have Tiffy in the back. It's Tiffy time, Greg, which means
it's Tiffy time.
I cannot believe that Tiffany Stratton is there, and she's there with Stupid Byron Saxton, and she's talking about how she's going to get her match. And then she gets interrupted twice. First, she gets interrupted. Who was the first one to walk in? Naomi. Oh, yeah. Naomi's going to get the match, and she's going to cash in on her. And then Alexa says, you shouldn't worry about her. You should worry about me.
Yeah. So here's what I'm concerned about. And maybe it's just me, but in every backstage interview segment lately, it's interview person, then have them interrupted by another superstar, or in this case, two. And when we get to Byron Saxton later in the night, the exact same thing happens. I'm like, it's very uninspired.
Formulaic.
And honestly, I found the same thing with the match ending and stuff in these matches tonight, because we had outside interference in several of them that, or distraction, we'll see in this match and the next one, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot, especially the Money in the Bank matches. If you look across all the shows, they're always trying to protect somebody, and nobody can lose clean. There's always some sort of gimmick.
Yeah.
Not in our first match, but I mean, this next match. So this is Worlds Collide set up for, because we're going to have Ethan Page versus Rey Fénix versus Javon Evans versus Laredo Kid, which is why Ethan Page won the North American title on NXT, is because you need a general in there. You look at the other guys in here. Rey Fénix is a great wrestler, but I wouldn't call him a ring general. Javon Evans is not 21 years, is like 21. I think he's not 22 years old. And Laredo Kid's great, but I'm wondering, I think Ethan Page is in there to be the traffic control cop between these three high flyers, because boy, oh boy.
Probably. So yeah.
That's going to be a match. That's going to be a match later on. We're going to see that. We're going to see a sample of that. But first, we get the Husky one himself, JC Mateo versus R-Truth, the national treasure.
That's right.
I feel inspired. I might try and make an R-Truth National Treasure t-shirt, but like cross it with the National Treasure movie poster and a picture of R-Truth.
Fair. You can do that. You could do that.
I figured out why his name's JC Mateo.
Oh, did you?
If you look at his gear, it has JC all over it. So they did him a solid and they said, hey man, you don't have to get all your gear remade. We'll just call you JC Mateo. And then that way the JC doesn't stand for Jeff Cobb. It's just JC Mateo.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, or you could just call him Jeff Cobb.
Don't make sense. He didn't want to. Obviously, there's something about the licensing of the name that happened. But JC Mateo meant that this guy didn't have to make gear.
It doesn't make sense, right? You have people like Chelsea Green.
Ethan Page.
No, that's not
his his ring name. He licensed it to WWE.
Ring name, and he used
Rey Fénix is not his government name, but they've licensed that one.
No,
and Penta.
Yeah. So why JC Mateo couldn't have been Jeff Cobb? I don't know.
There's obviously a story there.
Get your heads out of your asses, WWE. So
the story of this match is that R-Truth thinks he's still wrestling John Cena, and he's trying to hit shoulder tackles and knock JC Mateo off his feet, including trying to hit the five knuckle shuffle. I love when he tries to hit the AA and it just doesn't, he can't get him up and he gets squished. And that leads to
JC
Mateo hitting, I think, one of the coolest finishers in wrestling. The best thing is that he can do it to pretty much anybody and it looks fantastic. Yeah. That tour of the islands on R-Truth looked amazing. Truth can't win, but it doesn't matter. We don't care. As long as nobody hurts R-Truth, we're fine.
Exactly. No one take out R-Truth.
Nobody take the truth away from us. If you hurt R-Truth, then you're going to hear Greg on here and he's going to be all up in our business with this.
I don't believe you happy. He's not happy.
That sound effect, when he said that last week, I was like, this is the official Greg Felpham sound effect.
Yeah.
So Street Profits are next, Greg, and they come out to their terrible Def Rebel theme song. This segment is brought to you by Def Rebel's suck-ass theme songs.
Yeah. This segment was actually pretty terrible.
So Montez Ford says they're leading the charge. Angelo Dawkins says no other team can hang with them, including the Wyatts. Ford says they'll defend their title against anyone. Down comes Fraxium. They can't cut promos. They're terrible theme song plays. Greg, this is the first time you're hearing the new Fraxium theme song.
Sure.
Didn't even notice. You can tell it's a Def Rebel, though, because they yell Fraxium at the beginning.
That's so fair.
This leads to the parade of all the teams who thinks that they should get titles. Motor City Machine Guns, DIY. The only thing about this was DIY showed why they're the only team on this in this division that can cut really good promos, especially now that they've added Candice as their backup, which I love. It doesn't matter because the Wyatts are just going to turn out the lights and just beat the hell out of everybody. That's Greg. This is our tag division. It's way, at least we're not Raw where there's only three tag teams.
Yeah, but we got the Wyatts.
But the Wyatts can wrestle. I don't mind the Wyatts if they're going to actually wrestle.
Yeah, I'm less optimistic on the Wyatts.
The good news about all of this is at some point we have to get some sort of match. And this is even our whole tag division because Los Garza wasn't even involved with this.
It's very fair. I'm just kind of wondering where Teddy Long was tonight.
Yeah, and I don't think WWE does any favors to these guys by having them in talking segments. I think you need to have these guys wrestle. This division is based on the fact that all of these guys can go. Yep. But instead, we need a different tag match tonight. So it's Rey Fénix teaming up with Javon Evans and Los Garza. We have Canada's own Ethan Page, friends of the show, the Raw Dogs. I am so happy that Ethan Page was on national television on WWE. I hope they call him up soon because Ethan's closer to our age than he is a young man. Not that we're old, but it's like in wrestling years, I'd like to see him get a couple of good years on the main roster.
Speak for yourself. We're not old.
as Greg's like, I have another surgery scheduled down the line.
Ain't that
so? Have you seen a lot of Javon Evans before tonight?
Wasn't he called up for like a match?
Just like a one-off thing
months ago, or something?
Not recently, but a while ago. Yeah, your memory, I think, is correct. There was some match he had. We saw him on the main roster. He is incredible. Like Rey Fénix had the botches in this match. It was Javon Evans who was just that. Your boy is bouncy.
No, he wasn't. I'm looking at his.
So this is his SmackDown debut.
It's only. Yeah, I thought that we had like an NXT guy. I thought it was Javon Evans. Maybe I'm thinking about there was some sort of interaction because didn't he take on Randy Orton when they moved over to CW? Randy
went down to NXT to wrestle him.
Yeah.
And he's had a longstanding feud with Ethan Page where Ethan Page allegedly broke his jaw.
Oh, really?
Yes. But this kid is, your boy is bouncy.
Hey.
There was a lot of really cool stuff in this. The tag team offense with the double super kicks and the drop kicks. At one point, Rey Fénix hits a springboard. He tries to hit a Hurricane Rana by like doing the jumping off somebody else's back, and he sort of hits it. Thank goodness the Garzas are pros and be able to do that. He hits a beautiful springboard moonsault. Javon does his springboard arm drag. At one point, he tries for a power bomb, and Angel just overpowers and bounces him off the ropes and does a slingshot power bomb. Javon, at one point, dives to the outside with a crazy swanton. But at this point, Ethan gets involved. There's distractions all the way around. And eventually, Javon gets pushed off the top rope by Ethan. And we have the FTY slam on Javon by the Garzas. For their tag team. That's that one where they do the thing when they press them over the head and then they do a full spin and they take a butt bump to accentuate the bump. Two things come out of this match. One, everybody in this match is one hell of a wrestler. Two, that four-way is going to be insane. And I guess the third thing, Greg, is why don't we push Los Garza? Because I think this might be the best tag team.
You think so?
I think they're one of the best tag teams. They don't get, like, they're not in the mix at all for this tag division. And I would say that they're definitely better than the Wyatts.
I would agree, but I mean, I don't know if I would agree that they're the best tag team that we have.
Let's put them on Raw. They're definitely the best tag team on Raw if you put them over there by themselves.
100%. But I'm thinking of, like, Motor City Machine Guns, I think is probably.
I would say DIY is. I take DIY because they can at least cut a promo.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
there fair. There's some, like, this is, we're just have a plentiful tag team. Meanwhile, this was a good showcase for the Fatal 4-Way next weekend. Do you, are you rooting for, the, like, are you interested in that Worlds Collide at all?
I might throw it on. Depends on my availability, but yeah, my availability and my Wi-Fi connection, because where I'm staying is in the middle of nowhere. And last year when I stayed there, Wi-Fi was spotty.
Oh yeah, best. I remember trying to record. So I'm probably gonna watch this Saturday night and avoid the spoilers for Money in the Bank and try and watch it on the plane ride home on Sunday. Yeah,
Money in the Bank.
I'm on WestJet and allegedly they have Wi-Fi.
Sure, but you should be able to
download it. But this you need Wi-Fi to watch. So I'll probably watch this in the hotel. I know the hotel Wi-Fi is going to be excellent. I'm actually staying in a dorm room on campus at the university that is hosting the conference. So they have a broadcasting one.
Oh, curious. And really, this is for my amusement and it's a tangent, I know. But are you flying on Flair direct to Kitchener-Waterloo?
Not flying on Flair to Kitchener direct to Waterloo. No, we're picking up people in Toronto, so I'm flying into Toronto. I'm going to be Brad Staxi for most of that day because I'll be driving. I'll be in the rent a car and I'll be driving back and forth on Wednesday and Thursday to the airport. So, but the university I'm staying at actually does broadcasting. It's a church university. So it does broadcasting, and so all of the gear is wired and ready for sound. I cannot wait. They have like a mix.
You just want to go play.
Have the best day weekend ever. Like, I'm going to just be recording and hanging out. I'm probably going to be working 13 hours a day. Meanwhile, you have an assignment. Tell me how big the patch is for the Switch 2, because I will be in I will be in Cambridge when my Switch arrives.
Yeah, you'll be there when it arrives.
It'll arrive here, and my kids are like, we won't open it without your dad. I'm like, bullshit. They won't open it because they don't know how to set it up without dad, because they want to do the migration.
That's fair. I am hoping that we get ours prior to us leaving, because if not, that's going to be a challenge.
Oh, your wife's just not, she'll drive down later. She'll drive down later. It's fine.
Did you Amazon?
I did Best Buy. So I'm not picking it up. It's being delivered.
Oh, you ended up getting Best
Buy. So have you heard the story about this, though? Do you know what they've done? Because people have their Switch 2s right now.
I love that we are not even close to even talking about wrestling anymore. We've completely gone off the
rails. The next match I'm avoiding talking about. That's why. But
okay,
so
that's good.
Have you been following the Switch stuff at all? So you'll have to tell me about the patch. So what they've done is, they mailed out Switches to people. People have got their hands on it. But there's a patch that is not released until midnight Japan time on the launch day. So you can turn it on. You can see the frame rates and things like that. But you can't play any games. And it's basically a brick. It's a very pretty brick.
So mine is, I did mine on Amazon. So I'm curious as to when they're actually going to ship.
I was told that they're shipping them. So because they're doing it this way, they're shipping them so they arrive on launch day. So when you get it, though, you have to turn on the internet and download the patch. The patch basically is acting like an activation key for the Switch. So even if you have it, you can have pictures of it. You can unbox it right now, but it doesn't do anything.
So I just checked mine and it looks like mine is not arriving until Monday the night.
No.
That's what Amazon is suggesting is arrive on June 9th.
Well, I don't care if mine doesn't arrive till Monday, because I'm going to go get it on Monday. And I'd like it for Sunday night, because what I'll do is when I get home at 9 o'clock, I will do the overnight download. Because the last time I did the migration was Wii to Wii U, it took hours. Like, it was like 6 hours.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You've got fiber internet home, and you can wire into the dock.
Yeah, you can wire both. And I have the other one wired into the dock.
So, I mean, you should be able to transfer that pretty quickly over internet.
We'll see. It all comes down on how big the patch is. So if the patch is the, I don't think it was the Wii. I think it was the Wii U or the Wii or the Switch, the first Switch that had a major patch. Like, and it was a monster download to start the game. So you just wait, dude. I got fiber. We'll see what happens. Uncle Howdy now to go back to wrestling. Uncle Howdy talks about how they're going to get theirs in a weird, creepy Wyatt promo. This is the match that I was avoiding talking about.
So here's what's funny. That didn't show up on my
feed. You didn't get the Uncle Howdy promo.
No.
Weird. I think it was.
And I knew he did it, but I don't know if it was like during a commercial break or something. But when I watched it back on Netflix, because I started really late, it didn't show.
So I was almost cut up the live at this point. So that was one of it. Selena Vega and Alba Fire. This is the match I hate. I hate like poison.
I actually didn't mind this match.
I was spitting nails. I found this entire match, Selena Vega was a step behind. Like, I found Alba Fire was doing a bunch of things that, like it felt like she was slowing down to allow Selena Vega to hit moves. And I mean, this whole match, we got was building up to Chelsea taking off her mask and smashing Piper with her mask, so she might have broken her nose, so they can have matching masks next week. And that and then Chelsea gets up. They almost collide. We know they're not going to. We hit a very sloppy looking code red. And yeah, I think this is about the third or fourth time I've seen a Selena Vega match. The one on Saturday Night's Main Event was crappy too. Like, she was, anytime she was on offense or she was trying to sell, she just doesn't look believable. Greg, there's only two reasons that Selena Vega is not getting fired.
Yes.
What are those two reasons?
I don't think we can say that.
Why can't we talk about the fact that her husband just got rehired? That's one. And two, I think she's the most prominent Latina on the roster.
Those are not the two reasons, Brad.
I played this joke with my kids earlier today. I'm like, hey, look, here's Selena Vega. She had like her fifth crappy match in a row and she's not getting fired. Can you tell me what the two reasons are she doesn't get fired? And both kids said what you were thinking. And I did mine. And they both were like chuckling. I was like, this, she is so bad. And it's like, we went from Chelsea Green to this hot garbage.
And you know what? The best thing about SummerSlam coming up in New Jersey is that she's not wrestling on it because she's the host.
We need a match. Good. Why don't we have, we saw Julie in the back. She kind of we saw her subtitle thing. And then we see her in the back later with, as Zelina walks by holding her head and she wants her title. She's looking towards the Money in the Bank, but she also wants her title. Give her the title. Like, she can already wrestle better than most of the women on the roster. Sure. But this Money in the Bank is funny because there's a lot of people you expected to be in it that aren't. So Julia's in, but not Charlotte. Damian Priest would have been somebody I would have thought might have qualified for Money in the Bank, but he didn't even get in a qualifier. He just came out and cut a promo. Yeah. He wants Jacob Fatu's title. He respects Drew McIntyre. He's a tough guy. He respects Jacob Fatu and where he came from. He doesn't like the crew he's hanging out with. And Jacob comes out and they stare at each other as Jacob's coming out for his qualifier and Damian Priest is leaving after his promo. Well, we know one thing, Greg. We don't have to worry about Jacob Fatu might be available for Money in the Bank.
That's fair.
So when you saw this match on paper, Jacob Fatu versus Andrade versus Melo, what was your reaction?
These are not the people I want to see in this match.
Oh, come on. There's one person in this match you wanted to see. Come on. Jacob Fatu in that ladder match would have been great.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's not going to happen.
Earlier in the show, Miz and Mello, just before the Julia stuff, Miz and Mello's promo where it's like, Miz like, hey, man, we're going to be Money in the Bank. And Mello's like, hey, man, no. I got here on my own talent. I appreciate everything you've done for me, Mike, but I'm my own man. It's like, why are we teasing a breakup of this team? They just teamed up.
That's right. That's exactly what we're getting here is a breakup of them. But honestly, I don't understand this. Why are champions trying to get into Money in the Bank?
Well, they explained this on Raw this week, which you were too high for. If you win the title, if you get in the match, oh no, it was last week on SmackDown. So you were very high. If you get in the match, Zelina tried to qualify because she wants the briefcase so that somebody can't cash in on her. Because somebody would cash in on her prestigious title.
Yeah, that's stupid.
You know what is also stupid? This match, having the Miz out there, because basically the Miz was out there just to get smushed by Jacob Fatu into the barricade, so we could tease that spot for later on the show. And Miz is dead. And apparently, like when I was watching last night, I was up to live during the commercial break. The entire medical staff came out to make sure the Miz wasn't dead. Is this a continuation of our best of 67 between Andrade and Mello?
There's a good possibility that might actually be.
Greg, I knew when I started watching this match, this sound effect was going to be important.
I don't believe you happy. He's not happy.
He's not
happy. Greg saw these guys on the thing and he's like, damn it. I mean, there was some great.
You know what? Here's the thing. This is better than the women's match we had to start.
This was the best match of the night. And there was nothing wrong with this match other than the fact that every time I have PTSD from seeing Andrade and Mello so much. I mean, they hit stuff like their Spanish fly off the middle rope was amazing. The double team they did together on Jacob Fatu was also amazing. And then when Jacob Fatu threw himself through the barricade before the second commercial break was also crazy. There was so many cool things with moonsaults and double jump moonsaults, but none of it matters because at the very end of the match, when Jacob has the match won, stupid Solo comes out to distract him, which leads to Jimmy coming out to attack JC Mateo, who's trying to order Jacob around. And this whole distraction leads to Jacob being pushed out of the ring and Andrade hitting the message onto Mello. So I would say the guy that I care the least about is in this match. And there's no chance. I would bet a kidney on the fact that Andrade is not winning this match.
Yeah.
The only way.
That's going to be 100% right.
Okay, so if he's wins this match, he becomes another guy who can't cash in the Money in the Bank successfully.
Yeah, I would agree.
Or is he going to cash in on, U.S. title? Come on down! Here, Andrade comes wind sprinting down for the U.S. title.
Brad.
He's not over.
No.
You know what? NXT desperately needs some male stars. Send Andrade back to NXT. It would not hurt his career.
Right. No, you are 100% right.
So, yeah. And then Jacob, after this, we see him outside losing his crap.
Yeah. Yeah. But what, again, pissed me off the most is when you go back and look, this kind of outside interference thing is exactly what happened in the Los Garza's Javon Evans Rey Fénix match, happened in the Zelina Vega Alba Fire match. It's like rinse, repeat.
It happened in the promo segments. Stuff people kept getting interrupted. It was just the theme of the show was surprise. I have somebody else come out and talk about this.
And that's fine and good. But I don't need to see it in every freaking segment of match. How lazy is WWE getting with this?
Well, definitely felt a little it felt a little, it was definitely a little bit lazy. And speaking of lazy, you could tell that they were padding the show because this main event segment was, we got four separate entrances.
Yeah.
Cody comes out, full entrance. I start the segment, Greg, 20 minutes, about 10 minutes before we're supposed to record. And I was like, I'm going to catch up. No problem. Because skips all of Cody's entrance till he starts talking. He talks about his whole year, AJ, Kevin Owens, AJ faking retirement, Kevin attacking him in the thing, The Rock wanting his soul. And if John Cena ruins wrestling, this will be his fault. But Cody promises that next time he has a chance to take out John Cena, he will. So he's going to give up his soul eventually. And he thinks everybody's a little bit hungry, so it's time to eat. So out comes good old Yeet Fest himself, Jey Uso. I love Jey Uso. The entrance is amazing. For the people in Knoxville, congratulations. Burkhead said that these tickets were, even crappy tickets, were through the roof. And I'm glad they got to see all.
Well, of course, we've got to have a post about how it's the highest grossing SmackDown in the market from WWE, which is code for we just took more money.
We just gouged you to oblivion. So fine. They made lots of money and we get a Yeet Fest before we can get anything from Jay. John Cena comes out. His time is now. Our time is up. And this smells like a trap. But it's actually a trap by John Cena. Who has the best lines? I have to clip in some of these lines. So he just goes in there. He talks about two loser wannabes. They don't have hustle, loyalty, and respect. The man with the hustle, loyalty, and respect is Logan Paul. So Logan Paul, come on down. Logan Paul, doesn't it?
You're the next contestant.
Dude. We need four songs in order to pad this segment. Logan Paul doesn't pay his dues because he pays your mortgage. Just John Cena spitting fire. Logan.
Listen, Cody doesn't do so bad.
Oh, himself. He's got some lines there too. The last line is Cody has the last line and wins. Yes. John, Logan Paul, though, says, even if I came out here and walked on water, do you be mad because I didn't swim? Also, a killer line. And Logan Paul, you two Nepo babies started on third and are celebrating because you thought you hit a triple. But there are, and then all of a sudden Logan Paul's ready to fight because Jey Uso says we don't have to wait. But John Cena doesn't want to fight. And Greg, I could tell you're ready for this line. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and this is where we get our episode title for today's show. Because Cody looks back at him and says that inquires whether or not that Logan needs to go back to the back with John Cena to polish his peacemaker.
Gosh darn it. And the fight's on.
The fight's on. But polish his peacemaker.
Polish his peacemaker is a great line. And the experienced tag team, the former tag team champions of Jey Uso and Cody Rhodes, worked together perfectly. And I forgot they even had a tag team finisher, which is the Co-D, which is the combination of the 1D Cody Cutter, which Logan Paul took perfectly. And then the Cody holds up his title. Oh, wait, that one's not his. That's John Cena's. And the two baby faces hold up the two world titles, even though only one of them's a champion. And that ends the show.
So,
Greg.
That means, one, I'm starting to hate these more and more of these John Cena appearances that are wasted on this type of a segment. Particularly the week before Money in the Bank. This could have been next Friday night's thing. Because, I mean, you're already going to have to fly John Cena in anyway.
And he'll be on that show. He just will be wasting another appearance without a match.
Right? Yep. And two, now that the good guys end up on top after this match, you know what that means. Or after the segment. We all know what that means next week.
Oh, yeah. The Keels are going to have their winning segment on SmackDown so that the faces can win on the PLE.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so this argument can be settled after our commercial break.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Are you looking for the best Raw review on the internet, or the worst one, depending on who you ask? Check out Randy C. and Eric B., the Raw Dogs. They'll be covering Monday Night Raw here on The Hub for Draw Straws Raw. And for your complete recap of all things AEW, listen here on The Hub to Sean and Ashley with a Dynamite Drop. They'll be dropping fresh new episodes Thursday nights or Friday mornings each week on The Hub. And
Tylenol 3s. Because one Tylenol wasn't good enough, we decided we needed to pack in 3 of them. Right?
When we're fighting, Greg, it's always good to take a little break in the middle there, and you can now tell me what you think is actually going to happen.
Oh, this is going to be Logan Paul and John Cena winning at Money in the Bank.
Oh, okay.
I think that's a lot.
I would say the opposite. I think they're going to have a plan to get them next week, and then the winner will be Cody and John Cena, because we have to build towards, I think we're going to get a Cody and John Cena match at SummerSlam.
No, I don't think that. I think that's going to be a little bit later on. But I think it's going to be Logan Paul cheating with brass knucks. It's going to be John Cena with a low blow. And it's going to be Jimmy Uso taking the pin.
I can see Logan Paul beating Jimmy Uso. I could see John Cena pinning him. But sure. because if you've been listening to the Raw Dogs, there is a ton of contenders over on Raw. Seth Rollins wants the title, but he'll probably win Money in the Bank and just cash in and take it. He has a match with Gunther the Monday after this PLE. So yeah. I would be surprised. So no one's going to cash. I'm going to make this bold prediction right now because we're not going to be together next week. No one will cash in their briefcase at Money in the Bank.
Or both of them will, because WWE will just...
No, the women's one is going to be carried for a while by whomever wins. And the men's one will be cashed in by Seth Rollins on the Raw after Money in the Bank. I'll be watching that Raw live because I'm off that week. And the reason I'll be watching that Raw is Seth Rollins will win and Money in the Bank and cash in immediately after the main event on Raw. So if you're right, and you might be right, that Jimmy loses there, he has a historic win against Gunther again. And when he's beat to pulp by Gunther, Seth Rollins comes out, his goons beat and decimate Jay, and then we get the cash in.
Probably. I think that makes sense. And then on the women's side, who do you think is going to win Money in the Bank?
Without having the full roster, I'll tell you who I want and then who I think is going to win. I think I really would love to have Roxanne Perez win this. I think giving her that for the next 6 months and letting her walk around with it would make her a big deal.
Okay. So going back to the men's. So that last position is going to be Styles, Punk, or El Grande.
Oh, well, it's pretty obvious to tell you who's going to be in there.
Yeah. I honestly would love to see CM Punk win Money in the Bank.
Oh, yeah, but I think he's going to get screwed. I see this being that CM Punk is going to get up on the ladder and the goons are going to drag him off of it.
100%. That's a possibility. I think that would be a lot more fun with him with the briefcase than Seth Rollins and his ridiculousness. On the women's side, so the last spot is going to be Ivy Nile, Liv Morgan, or Stephanie Vaquer.
I wonder who's getting that spot.
I think that may be the returning Liv Morgan taking that spot.
Liv Morgan. So I was going to say to you, I think, in order to sow the judgment seeds, I think you're going to get Stephanie. Stephanie just got called up for a reason. I think you're going to get Stephanie in there. If you were going to pick.
Okay.
Liv has the tag title. She doesn't need the Money in the Bank. Where you put Stephanie, if you put those three women in there, Roxanne, Stephanie, and Julia, Like, they're three of the best women on the roster. And what a great way to start their main roster career by putting them in Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something that's pulling at me for Liv Morgan to win Money in the Bank.
Oh, no. If she wins, dude, she'll be first one to fail. Because there'll be some, that'll, yeah.
No. Oh, I don't think so.
Because she'll fail so that they can do this Judgment Day falling apart storyline that they're doing.
Yeah, but here's the thing. She can hold it for the year. I don't think she, I could see Liv Morgan. I see a scenario here where Liv Morgan wins the match on Monday, goes to Money in the Bank, wins Money in the Bank, and just holds that damn briefcase. Because honestly, who cares about the Raw women's tag titles?
The WWE women's tag titles, Greg. They're the only women's tag titles in the whole company. Who cares? Well, it's because they released half the tag teams.
Right. But who actually cares? Legitimately. No one really cares about them. So, I mean, whether those titles are defended or not or anything, what odds? But I could see Liv Morgan holding that briefcase, and I could see her teasing cash-ins all the time. I would love to see Liv Morgan. I don't see Alexa Bliss as being believable for cashing in. And
She's going to end up with Charlotte. Her and Charlotte are going to be a tag team, and they're going to tag team and then feud, because that's how that, yeah, that's just like, just,
yeah. And I don't think Rhea needs it. And then I think, you know, the Roxanne Julia, I think that they're too new in it to get going. And Naomi, I don't want to see Naomi with it.
Oh, nobody wants to see Naomi. Is not gonna, Naomi's getting taken out of that match by Jade. Don't kid yourself. Jade, yeah, is gonna, fair. And because that feud has to continue. That we still don't know who actually attacked Jade.
No, that's fair.
So, yeah, I don't. I have no idea, other than I really want Roxanne. But I tend to agree with you. I think someone like Alexa could win. I really don't think that you're going to. I think you're wrong. I think we are going to get. I think we're getting all the NXT girls in that show. I think Stephanie Vaquer got called up for a reason. So, well, that's up to the Raw Dogs. They'll tell us after the show. After you watch Monday Night Raw, you can hear them break down this. What do you think is the main event? Is it the tag match or the men's ladder match? Because one of those two is probably your main event for Money in the Bank.
I think it's probably going to be the men's Money in the Bank.
Yeah, because I
would say the women's will start.
The men's tag match will be semi-main or middle of the show. The two...
Semi-main. Yeah. I think it'll be women, men.
Is there only four matches on the show? There's got to be five.
No, there's four right now.
Yeah, I guess. And then everybody else seems to be on Worlds Collide.
Yeah. Which, by the way, myself and my wife were watching that. Was it? It must have been this week. We were watching Saturday's main event actually, and they were talking about the Worlds Collide thing, and I was kind of talking to her, and I'm like, how far is it between these two arenas, right? Like, if you're having these two shows, and I went and looked at it and kind of mapped it out or whatever, it's not that bad. I think it was like a half hour-ish walk or something. It was like 6 minutes in car. But I mean, you never know with LA traffic.
So you're probably parking somewhere between the two, walking to one. Walk into the other.
Potentially.
Or you're picking one or the other. I imagine Worlds Collide was a much cheaper ticket.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet. I bet it was.
Greg, let's finish this show.
Okay.
This is your SmackDown synopsis.
Greg.
Is it wrong that I legitimately thought we already did this?
No, we are delaying it because this is going to be an unhappy synopsis. I can feel it right now.
Okay.
Oh, I already know the answer to this question. Bianca Belair promo. Uh, this triple threat match that comes after that.
Oh yeah, we can definitely
just get rid of it. I know.
I don't believe you happy.
I mean,
he's not happy.
I wish I could say that we should keep it because we need it for Money in the Bank, but I don't want this
again. Greg would not recommend it. 4 out of 5 Gregs would not recommend this.
I can't believe that they put 15 minutes into this match.
What do you want? The R-Truth segment. What do you want to do with that one?
He's a goddamn national treasure.
I know, so which means
you are the greatest of all time.
It's funny
that you are.
He was saying that about John Cena, but let's be honest.
It's
about him. Chelsea Green promo with.
Oh, yes. With Nicholas. Yes. You got to clip me some stuff of Chelsea talking to Nicholas.
Yeah, I will go get their thing. What do you want to do with the Tiffy one? Because we have a rule. We don't cut Tiffy.
We don't cut Tiffy. Okay,
then that means
it's Tiffy time.
Okay, next.
But we the interruptions at the end.
You cut up all the interruptions. How about, yeah, we only needed Tiffany talking, and then it just faded to black and nothing else happened. Husky JC Mateo versus R-Truth.
Yeah, I didn't know if this was an homage to that Harris guy or not, but yeah, it's 2 minutes, 21 seconds. I'd like to see R-Truth get some wins. But yeah, I understand this. Now I got to look.
We're going to keep it. You know what? Let's Brad, keep it. You know what?
We're going to keep it.
Because I've been saving this one for you.
I will beat the ever-living hustle, loyalty, respect right back in your ass.
Okay, question for you. When's the last time R-Truth won?
Oh, God. 2023.
No. So I don't count main event.
Yeah, fair enough.
But January 27th, 2025. But on December 2nd, 2024, R-Truth defeated Pete Dunne in 1 minute and 53 seconds at Monday Night Raw.
Oh, wow. I forgot he was refuting with Pete Dunne. That's where he was getting his wins. Ray Phoenix. Right. Hey, you know what? The New Catch Republic is on Raw. They're a tag team. Where have they been?
I don't know.
Ray Phoenix, Javon Evans versus Los Garza.
Sure, we can keep this.
Yeah, you know, that's because this match.
This is exactly why I say I'm all gas, no brakes with
him. He's all gas and no brakes. I mean, that match was great. This match, you don't get a say in this, Greg. Zelina Vega. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
What are Mello and Miz chatting in the back?
No, cut that crap. Okay, I forgot. Did he wear that stupid,
yes, he was wearing his necklace. He was wearing Dre.
I wasn't looking for it.
I'll give you that one. Here you go.
All right.
Got that one for you. What about the match? Mello, Jacob Fatu, and Andrade.
I think this one makes us need psychological help. I think we need counseling after this match because, you know, I kind of just want to sit in the corner and shake after another Carmelo Hayes Andrade match.
You just can't do it anymore? Yeah. And then we didn't get the guy we wanted to go in. That one makes me just sad. But I still think it was a good match, so we can keep it, and then we'll just rewrite the ending. But
you better get in when you fit in.
Yeah, a little asterisk by it or something.
Yeah. Well, I feel like at the end of this match, we were the ones that were feeling like this.
Y'all did not mean. I just dog walked their ass.
We got our asses dog walked. That was definitely the end of that one. Okay, Greg. Our main event was John Cena, Cody Rhodes with Logan Paul and Eat Fest himself, Jey Uso, in a talking / fight.
Yep, that's what we had. And this is probably one of the best things on the show.
For sure. That deserves one of the Cody Rhodes. It was the best. And the one-liners were great. I got to go back and clip the hell out of that segment because those clips will live in infamy.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
So, Greg, that's our show for tonight. I think we had one heck of a SmackDown with some crap in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, we certainly had some challenges, to say the least.
So I talked to this guy, and I'll leave you with this thought, and we can then do our plugs and whatnot. But I talked to a guy when I was renting my car to go on my trip earlier this week, and he said one of the struggles with WWE right now is that the women's division has some really good wrestlers, but they never focus on the right ones, that they focus on the crappy wrestlers.
I think that's a fact.
And I wish I was trying to argue. I was like, no, he's 100% right. That is like on Raw, they have no tag teams, but they focus on the right female wrestlers. On SmackDown, we have all the tag teams. And for some reason, we're pushing Jade, Nia Jax, and Zelina Vega, who I don't think three could wrestle their way out of a paper bag. This is the thing. I think WWE has one really good women's division. And I think they have a lot of really talented wrestlers. They just don't push the ones that are great. And somehow we drew all of them over to SmackDown during the draft. Yeah. Last question of the day. Are we getting a draft?
All right. Yes.
Okay. Is SmackDown 3 hours next week is my other question. I guess I should say that's the last question.
Yes.
What?
Yeah. SmackDown is not moving back yet. There is no date that's been confirmed yet for SmackDown going back to 2 hours.
I am looking it up right now. I'm like doing a quick search. When does SmackDown move to 2 hours?
September 2025 is what culture said.
WWE has planned to reverse SmackDown back to 2 hours as of June 6th. However, plans have been postponed. The USA Network, which broadcast has expressed its satisfaction in 3 hour format. Yeah, discussion is 2020. Oh, dear God, Greg, the summer of 3 hour SmackDowns. You're going to be pissed for the entire summer.
Yeah, well, I mean, when is that different from any other time?
Well, no, listen, this is even worse than normal. All I can think about this whole summer is that the themes of the Greg summer is going to be,
I don't believe you happy. He's not happy.
You're not helping with the grumpy Greg stuff.
No, I'm not. Maybe I'll have to break out my new
Triple
shirt.
H, save us. All right, with that.
Please.
I'm Brad. He's Greg. Tune into the network. Next up, you're going to get the Raw Dogs on Monday. You'll also have Sean will be back next week with Ashley and the Dynamite Drop. And then next weekend, a lot of wrestling. And we'll have some of that covered here on The Hub. I'm Brad. He's Greg. Goodbye, friends.
Revolutionary podcast in sports entertainment. Bob and Peg and Brad, the dad bless you all with the lovely tales. But Friday night, SmackDown and beyond, go to the outer limits of your mind with the Smack Daddies.
Daddy.